Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you off and running here on Monday. I hope everybody had a great weekend. We're already, the 22nd day of July? Before you know it, autumn will be here, and it won't come any too soon for me. I'll tell you, I was out in the garden just, oh my goodness, the mosquitoes just were all over me this weekend. So I think we're going to have some kind of maybe mild eradication abatement project out in the garden. But anyway, I've certainly got the bites to show for it. The Buckmaster Show, let's see, we're going to be coming up in January. We will begin our 15th year already with our radio program. We are coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on the growing the campus of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in Tucson. Mr. Bustos has done a great job here. He's got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. Yes, you can listen to the show live, but I'm very proud of the fact that pretty much every show I have done since January 2011 is conveniently archived for you through the podcasts on my website. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we do something called the Monday One-on-One, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe makes house calls. He'll make sure the proper or the what you've had framed goes up on the wall exactly where you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And there's a new business doing very well over there. Monsoon Chocolate is now in that that little shop, Midtown Shopping Center. Moe'sGallery.com for their website, doing a great job on the website as well. The Monday one-on-one guest this week, Felipe Garcia, returns to our program, the president and CEO of Visit Tucson, the area's destination Nation Marketing Organization. He also serves as the president of the Lyon, France-based, which was formerly known as the Delice Network. It's now called Food Capitals. This is a consortium of destinations that collaborate on developing programs and strategies that use food and gastronomy as a tourism and economic development platform. Felipe, good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Bill.
Just off your trip over to Portugal, and I want to hear a little bit about that, because Tucson is a UNESCO city, which is basically a United Nations cultural destination, and we're one of only. Are there now just two cities of gastronomy?
Only two in the United States.
Two in the United States. But from what I understand, you just came from a UNESCO meeting that had representatives from really all over the world.
It was fascinating, Bill. It was over 150 people, more or less. Representing over 120 countries.
What?
From around the world. It was just, it's always interesting because you talk to other individuals and then you found out that around the world we have many things in common. That is that we want to have a better house. We always have a good job. We want to have a sustainable living. So regardless of language that you speak, regardless of culture, regardless of religion, we share many things with people from around the world.
And these United Nations cultural destinations really are all over the world, places like in Africa, Mali, and all these different places that have these wonderful archaeological sites. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you were dealing with with people from all over the world. What was kind of a common message? What were you hearing? Was there something that a lot of people were saying you were hearing over and over?
Well, one of them was, again, excitement about the U.S. rejoining UNESCO. As you know, we left UNESCO for several years, and we rejoined. And so there was an excitement to hear that the U.S. is supporting it again. Second, it's about those collaborations and sharing information. It's great that you can sit down at the table and have a conversation with someone from Macau, China, mm-hmm. or someone in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and they will develop a program and they'll be willing to share their success and how to do those programs in your communities? How can you replicate in your communities? Mm-hmm. So I think the common theme, Bill, has been the importance of UNESCO, the excitement of the U.S. rejoining, but something that was fascinating, and we met with the U.S. cities that are also part of the UNESCO Creative Cities Network, and it has to do with the appreciation that UNESCO has in the U.S. against the rest of the world. In the U.S., people, they don't understand, we don't understand a lot about what UNESCO is, what does it mean.
Yeah, because there's some kind of for many people, I'm not one of those, but many people, the United Nations has a negative connotation.
Exactly.
The political negative connotation.
Exactly. Yeah. And they don't realize how important it is, but when you talk to people from everywhere in the world, it's such a prestigious distinction. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember in Parma, Italy, if you go to their city hall, that is from the year like 1000.
In Parma.
Yeah. It's another city of gastronomy.
Uh-huh.
And they have two plaques on the wall of the city hall. One of the establishment of the building in the year 1000, mm-hmm. and the second plaque being a UNESCO Creative City of Gastronomy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so big, so important, but in the U.S., we're starting to learn and understand the importance and the value. So it's great to see Tucson at the table. We were the only city from Arizona mm-hmm. that it's attending these meetings. And again, it's great to see the value and the interest that people are showing of what's happening in our community.
How many cities of gastronomy are there in the world? And I know you mentioned there's two, Tucson and Austin.
San Antonio.
US. I mixed that up. Okay.
That's right.
San Antonio. Was San Antonio first?
No, Tucson was the first one.
In 2016? Or?
Yes.
Okay. So how many worldwide are there?
Oh, gosh, there are about 60 now.
60?
Yes. So there's been a lot of new members. Tucson was, I think, number 16, 17. We were one of the initial cities.
Felipe Garcia, this was a game changer. I believe that this whole city of gastronomy, that designation, is something that we've been can drive tourism and has. You think about how it's really changed what you do as a tourism economic developer. Talk a little bit about that.
So for us, definitely, as you mentioned, Bill, was a big changer in our community because it validated what was happening here. So let me give you...
Yeah, people knew we had something special going when it came to food, but the rest of the world didn't know.
They didn't know, and it was no... Like, when you get a franchise, if you buy a franchise from a restaurant, let's put it that way, they're going to give you the instructions and the recipes and the ingredients. So if you get your franchise on January 1st, you're completely doing something different from last year. The UNESCO City of Gastronomy, it was not that they gave us something new ingredients. They just validated something that was already happening here. Mm-hmm. But that's when the rest of the world started looking, wow, Tucson, really? Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they started doing more investigation and research, and we started showcasing what we're doing. And it's been just phenomenal to see how Tucson has positioned itself as a Mecca leader in the food and gastronomy world.
It's brought a lot of dollars into the community, hasn't it?
A lot of dollars, a lot of media attention, yeah, internationally, worldwide, and recognition. Other cities, they've been, San Antonio, a newspaper mm-hmm. mentioning how Tucson says, wow, we recognize that Tucson became this food Mecca all of a mm-hmm. sudden with mm-hmm. the designation. Mm-hmm. And of course, we did a lot of marketing, branding campaigns to make sure to tell people, mm-hmm. raise our hand and say, hey guys, look at us and come and not only look, but come and taste our community.
So restaurants would like to be here in town, would like to be associated, kind of a seal of approval. How does that happen?
So there is right now a certification program that restaurants and food producers and food artisans can apply. And they go and they apply, and you have to meet a criteria. And there's a piece of paper you have to fill out online, and you have to do certain things. And those requirements, Bill, are based on our designation from UNESCO. So when we applied to UNESCO, we said, hey, we're a city of gastronomy based on your standards because yes. of these things. Mm-hmm. Well, we're asking restaurants and food producers to use that as a model. Mm-hmm. So we're asking them to pay for wages. We're asking them to, of course, use scratch and local ingredients, mm-hmm. to source locally. So we're using those baselines from UNESCO to make sure that we are replicating those here in community. But the end, Bill, that what we want to do is to help that small producer in Tucson, that even farmer that is here. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom of it, how we preserve that history, culture, tradition mm-hmm. from Tucson.
Mm-hmm. And how many restaurants are certified right now?
Oh, gosh, I think we have more than 50 restaurants really? And food producers.
And they can use this in their logos yes. and promos and everything like that.
That's correct.
But they do have to fill out, you have to be approved.
Exactly. There's an application, there's a committee that goes and reviews the application and will grant you that designation as a Tucson City of Gastronomy. Now, this, for example, this program, Bill, when we launched it, other cities around the world, also cities of gastronomy, they were fascinating. So now they're using the Tucson model to replicate it around the world.
Mm-hmm. And what was this I heard about, a Mexican food guide?
So we, years ago, and actually through the creative minds here at your radio station,
really?
Having a conversation with our friend Chris, that I think records his, oh, yes. his radio program next door.
Yeah.
Years ago, we had the idea of the, well, we, a lot of people, he had said, hey, don't we have like great Mexican food in this part of town?
Mm-hmm.
So a group of people got together and they defined the best 23 miles of Mexican food. And it was based on a geographic area of South Tucson. But again, another conversation with Chris a few weeks ago, we said, well, I think we have the best Mexican food, period, not only in those part of Tucson, but throughout the city,
uh-huh.
throughout the community. So we launched a new campaign called America's Best Mexican Food,
mm-hmm.
And we're promoting around the U.S. to tell people, hey, come and enjoy this true, honest, mm-hmm. amazing Mexican food that we have
so
in our community.
So it's expanded from just one street or,
exactly.
or one particular area of our valley now to the really all of Tucson.
That's correct.
Okay. We're going to take a break right here. Felipe Garcia is here, heads up Visit Tucson. When we come back with Felipe, I'm curious about how do we get people to visit Tucson in the summertime, and we'll hear about Visit Tucson's strategy for that. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. The Buckmaster Show on a Monday continues right after this quick break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the green thing is Zocalo Village Studios. We always enjoy talking with Felipe Garcia. The man is a real veteran of the tourism and travel industry, and really economic developing, too. He kind of started his career in that area. Felipe is president and CEO of Visit Tucson. And before we quickly narrow in on trying to get people to come here in the summer, one thing that did come up, I'm sure, at your international session over in Portugal, some cities like Venice, Barcelona, there's kind of a backlash against Amsterdam, too many tourists.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it'd be a great problem to have that there's so many people that want to come to your city. The locals are saying, you know, that's enough.
It's a big problem that they're seeing right now in Europe, that is, they're called over-tourism.
Yeah.
Destinations that are just completely taken over by visitors, and they're trying to find a solution. And there's two problems there. One, there's certain tourists that they will not have any kind of economic impact. They will go to the grocery store and buy everything, or they're bringing it with them, so they're not spending money locally. But then the second and the biggest part or challenge they're having is about housing. So you have people in Barcelona that many people don't own their houses. They rent their apartments, and many people live in apartments, and they've been living there for 20 years. But all of a sudden, a company comes and says, hey, we're buying the building. We're turning it all into short-term vacation rentals, and you were paying.
So suddenly these people are they're out of a place to live.
So they have to say to move 4, 5, 6, 7 miles from where they've been raised all their lives because they cannot afford to live there anymore. Mm. In Portugal, I was hearing that the average salary, like if you're a starter, minimum wage, it's about 1,000 euros a month.
Okay.
And rents in the downtown core area of certain cities like Lisbon, it's 2,500 euros a month.
Yeah.
So it says you cannot afford to live in the downtown area. You have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And people, again, families have been displaced. So we're following, learning what's happening in Europe. Of course, we wish we start dealing with those problems. That's kind of a catch-22. But we're learning what's happening there and how can we avoid going to that extent. But there's an opportunity for us because we're seeing more and more visitors and tourists that says, I don't want to go to a place that is just packed with people.
I'd rather be somewhere where I could have a nice experience and not have to worry about the crowds.
Exactly. Something is unique.
So how do we attract people to come here in the summertime? It's always been a challenge.
It has been, Bill, and we've been creative in many ways. First of all, offering incentives and packages and telling people, hey, we have these kind of rates. There's promotions in our website. Mm-hmm. We have a summer deals area, so we entice those leisure visitors to come. And, hey, we know it's hot here in Tucson, but there's many activities early in the morning, late in the day that you can do, or hang out by the pool, but also, of course, follow recommendations about drinking water, sunscreen, and all of that. And also on the meeting sites, Bill, we go out and we tell many associations, says, hey, this is a great place to come and meet in the summer if you're going to be indoors in meeting
rooms.
And
the price point would be certainly right for them to meet here.
Exactly.
And, you know, with the way climate change is going, actually, Tucson, sometimes when our temperature is like a little low, maybe 100, 101, look at the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Portland, having temperatures unheard of, well over 100. So it's got in Europe some of the hottest temperatures ever recorded.
Yes.
So Tucson's not looking that bad climate-wise.
Exactly, first of all. And second, we are equipped to deal with hot weather.
Yes.
Everywhere we go, we have air conditioning. We're used to this. European cities, they are not used to it.
No.
And then they're getting 100, 101 degrees. I mean, if you go to an hotel here in the U.S. or in Arizona, you never search for, oh, I need an hotel that has an air conditioning unit. It's a given. It's hot water and air conditioning.
Yes.
Well, in Europe, in many places, it's not the case. It's an option.
Yeah.
If you look at short-term vacation rentals, many, they don't have air conditioning. So I think that's something that puts us in an advantage. And of course, we're concerned about climate change. We are launching new sustainability initiatives. We have a sustainability manager now at Visit Tucson because we feel that it's important for us to keep taking care of our environment, our community, our landscape. But again, in the summer, we have to be creative and find those niche markets that can come here to our community.
During the pandemic, numbers were looking real good. A lot of people didn't want to go to Europe or there were restrictions, so they went to places like Tucson to visit. So I think across the country, we've seen some kind of erosion. Tucson overall year to year is down about 3%. But luckily, the hotel room rates have not come down, because once they go down, it's really hard to bring them back. So how are we doing, and this is another area, meeting space, and how are we doing with meetings?
So the meeting sites, it's come back. After the pandemic, we were having a lot of leisure visitors, and they were paying very high rates. So as an hotelier, I will say, well, I will not entertain a group because I would rather have that family that has what we call the revenge tourism. They say, we haven't taken vacation in 2 years.
Yeah, we're going to do it right. Yeah.
We're going to do it right, and we're going to spend a lot of money, and we don't care about the room rate.
Exactly.
Now it has starting to settle down, and we're starting to see the meetings and conventions and groups come back again. So that's a market that we're seeing an increase, and again, that it's becoming solid. We're always in need of meeting spaces and always in need of a convention center. We've been very happy about the incentives in the convention center, or the investments in our convention center downtown. And actually, we launched a program build a few years ago that we said, well, let's make sure that we bring more meetings to the downtown core area. And we've been very happy to see that these last 12 months, we had a record number of meetings and convention attendees coming to the downtown Tucson market. Especially because we have now new hotel inventory, streetcar has helped us again get connectivity. So we have all these right conditions to go to that next level.
I've been in town long enough that I remember where we were really debating how are we ever going to get one downtown hotel when you go back to the early days of the evolution of the renaissance of downtown known as Rio Nuevo. There was a lot of talk, well, boy, maybe we should even pay Sheraton or a big developer to actually come to Tucson and build a big high-rise hotel. And Phoenix actually did that, I believe, and it didn't go all that well for them. But how are we doing with hotel space downtown? Boy, well, things changed, right?
Things changed. I mean, I completely agree with you. We used to have no options.
You remember back in the day, yeah.
I remember we had the Hotel Arizona, and we had a few by the freeway,
yeah.
Hotel Congress, and
that was about it. Yeah.
And now we have like two poles of development, the downtown with the DoubleTree at the convention center, with the Home to Suites, with the Leocan, that is a beautiful property. But then you connect the streetcar and go to the university area, and we have the Graduate Hotel that is connected to the Marriott that is going through a great renovation. So we have this amazing core of hotels that is helping us attract new business. Now, for a convention center destination, we still don't have that size of hotel that meeting planners want, but we're getting better.
How big do they want one?
700 rooms, 800 rooms in one facility.
So, yeah, for us to do it, it would have to be all the different facilities to get up to that particular number.
And many meeting planners, they don't want to risk it. They feel like, well, when you go to convention, you want to stay at the convention hotel, the certified one, or the one that is the host, because you don't want to be walking on the street when you have a break.
But the convention center itself looks good.
It does good. It's great what they're done internally, the marketing of it, how the technology they've been using. So we're very happy that we've been able to work with the hotels and with the convention center team to bring new business into the downtown area. And it's great what we can see there.
So you had your start of your new fiscal year. This is the way you do business and you track it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the goals y'all are setting for this next 12-month period.
So for starting this July 1st, that's our new fiscal year. We want to bring more than 150,000 room nights to our community, us directly, Visit Tucson, working with our hotel partners. We want to make sure that we're reinforcing our sports department. Youth sports is a great area to bring economic development because when you talk about a meeting or convention, you need the meeting room. But what about a Holiday Inn, a limited service hotel, a DoubleTree? Well, maybe they do have some meeting space, but a Hampton Inn that they don't have the large convention area. Yeah. Well, soccer fields, baseball fields, football fields, those become your quote-unquote meeting area. So youth sports is a great way to bring visitation to Tucson and expenditure. Families, kids coming here. Film and television, that's another market that we are always aiming high. We had great expectations because we now have tax incentives, but unfortunately, they were two strikes back-to-back that don't allow us to have business coming our way. There was another strike that was being rumored, but it seems that they have an agreement to not move forward with that strike. So hopefully, we'll start seeing some of that business coming here to our community. Multicultural marketing, we want to make sure that we become this destination for Hispanics living in the U.S., but they want to find a place that is welcoming, that celebrates that diversity
and
culture.
And where a lot of people speak Spanish.
Exactly. So we have our aims and our goals and our tactics, and we measure and track success, Bill, so we can know that we're moving to the right direction.
The Mosaic Project, where they're going to build new fields and a hockey ring, that could bring families from all over the state.
That's phenomenal.
The region, yeah.
We're very excited about that project, hoping it moves forward very soon so we can work together. So we're constantly talking to the county to make sure that we're partnering and we can make sure that when the Mosaic Water opens, that we're ready to help bring business here.
All right. So it sounds like things are happening.
Yes, they are.
All right. Felipe Garcia, always a pleasure. President and CEO of Visit Tucson. We always look forward to your visits. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
The Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Take a break right here. Then when we come back, my newsmaker interview with Hank Amos. Hank heads up Tucson Realty and Trust. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. You're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Things are looking really green over at Green Things. The rain has been so welcome, and all the plants love it. The 13 acres, did you know that I speak to plants? So they've told me that they've told me everything is really cool over there. 13-acre site looking really good. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You know, Green Things is kind of like a local institution. I know so many people get all of their beautiful plants over there, and they get the accessories and beautiful furniture in Zocalo Village, which is part of their part of the business that Jan and Jack have created. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things now in their, I think it's 53 years of business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Rincon Ventures sponsoring our live line, and we're going to do a live line interview right now with Hank Amos. George H. Amos III, known by his many friends as Hank, fourth generation Tucsonan, graduated from the U of A in 1981. He's the chairman of the board and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, which is incorporated back in 1911. Tucson Realty and Trust Company is Arizona's oldest real estate company, specializing in commercial brokerage and property management. And everybody's seen their logo. That bullseye logo is so distinctive. You got the eye and then two outer circles. Target tried to do something similar, but hey, didn't work, did it, Hank Amos? Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? No, it didn't. You know, what ended up happening was we made a deal with those guys.
Really?
And they have the one dot and the one circle. And we gave them the rights. The settlement was that they can do retail, but then we had that bullseye for everything else. Hmm. So we always have to defend it from time to time. Nike did an ad one time where they had, you know, tell Bo to hit it here, and they had a sign up with a bullseye. And I don't know how much they spent on that commercial, but they had to take it down. So it's interesting, yeah.
So how's the market doing? I was just reflecting. Here we are in the middle of a really big political year. There's been so much political news. Do you think that impacts some people holding off on real estate decisions, whether it be residential or commercial? What is your take on that?
I would say from the commercial standpoint, probably more so, because you have interest rates and how rates are going to move. And that has more of an impact because you're talking about investments. As far as homes, that's more of an emotional buy. And that's going to happen because I'm moving jobs, or I want to move, or I want to get a second home. And so that's the distinction between the two, given, you know, the election year. Some people on the residential side may hold off thinking that rates might go down or go up depending upon who's going to win, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people are going to move because they have to move, or they want to move, and they don't take that in consideration. More so on the commercial side, that's where that's taking place.
Is residential slowing down a little bit?
Most definitely. So you can take a look at it, and I'll give you some data points. You know, June of this year, they did about $520 million. That's down from June of last year, about 24%.
Wow.
And then you look at days on the market, and in 23, it was 14 days on the market. This is the medium days of market. And in 24, it's now 20 days on market. So it's taking longer. But then you look at the number of sales, right? So, you know, last year, the first half of the year, they did 7,616 sales. And this year, first half of the year, they've only done 7,274 sales. And you compare that to like 22, where they did 10,311 sales. So, you know, the activity, the dollar volume's going down, the number of sales are going down, the average days of market's going up. We have about 3.1 months of supply of homes. So there's about 3,517 listings. But here's something that's interesting. So in June, the number of listings that came on the market was 1,714. That's 233 more homes came on June this year than last year. And the interesting thing is every month this year, there have been more homes coming on the market to sell, right? Listings coming on than last year. It was greater. So over the 12-month period, you have almost a 35% increase in listings. The market is definitely slowing down. And what's happened is the interest rates are still too high. I mean, they're not high from a historical standpoint. I mean, you and I remember when they were 18, 15, 12. I remember when I got a mortgage at 10, I was happy, right?
Yeah.
But compared to where they've been, you know, the mid twos in the threes, you know, it's 4 points higher. And so all those, when you have a mortgage rate at 2.5% or 3%, you can afford a lot more homes. So everybody was buying homes because they can afford it. Right. And that create all that supply and demand, all that demand for that limited inventory of homes drove prices super high. And all of a sudden now, you know, but you didn't mind paying $800,000 for a home because I got a mortgage at 2.5% or 3%. It wasn't that much for me, right? Or for the average person. I don't know if the average person, whatever they're paying for, right? But now home values are too high. In fact, they have continued to go up. The median sales price of a home right now is $370,000. That's about 2.5% from last year. And the average sales price is $443,925. That's up 3.6%. Now, the interesting thing to note, because the market's slowing down, is that the median price of a home went down $5,000 from May to June. But so what's happened, though, to get back to what we were talking about, is home prices haven't come down and interest rates haven't come down. So they're both still too high, and that's pushing pressure on the market currently, along with our seasonal adjustment, because we're hitting summertime and nothing really happens in the summertime.
How does that impact, or does it impact what you do every day, commercial?
So commercial, the market has decelerated from 22 and 23. It's not dead by any means, but it's not nearly as robust as it once was. And it's due to the higher interest rates and prices for commercial properties. So it still makes it really difficult to make deals pencil. There's still a lot of sideline activity. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. Some of it's due to the presidential race that we just talked about. They're wondering if rates are going to drop and are we going to get back to the races and buying things like we did before, or is the true reality of our economy going to sink with a geopolitical risk in the background and going on? Is that going to collapse the economy and a correction awaits? And that's the million-dollar question, and a lot of people are on the sideline trying to figure out what's going to happen.
So if a 10 is a white-hot commercial market, 5 is average, where are we right now in Tucson, Arizona, Hank Amos?
I would say we're about a 4, maybe a 3.75. What's happened is we have a mixed bag when it comes to commercial real estate, with some sectors recording sales above its 12-month average and others below it. And then we have some sectors that are seeing double-digit vacancy and others not. So most have seen low to moderate rent growth, except for retail, which we'll get into, which has seen just over 6% rent growth. So, yeah, we're about a 4 on a 1 to 10 scale, maybe 3.5, maybe 3.75.
All right. After we take the break, you will break it down into the different segments, sectors of the commercial market. So this would be a good time, Hank. Keep you on the line, and then we'll come back to you after our break. Hank Amos, Tucson Realty and Trust, with us on our live line. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios send a lot of our listeners over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year. The rains greening up the Gila National Wilderness, making it just so pleasant to do some hiking. And because of their temperature, hiking is very doable over there. With a temperature drop, I don't know, 10 to 15 degrees, depending on the day, but it certainly is worth a three-hour drive over to Silver City. 78 degrees, hey, I'll take that. Wow. And overnight lows right around, let's see, upper 50s? Very nice. John on the other side of the glass is going, man, that does sound tempting, doesn't it? Start your planning for your trip over to Southwest New Mexico and the Land of Enchantment by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We continue with our conversation on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hank Amos is with us. Hank is the CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust, and we're going to get into some of the commercial sectors. Hank, so why don't we begin with one that a lot of people follow, retail. How are we doing in the retail area?
Retail's doing pretty well. Retail is supported by healthy demographics. So their population growth has been up about 1.9% over the past 3 years. That's outpacing the U.S. level 1.3%. So the share space available for lease has similarly declined and now stands near the lowest level in over a decade. So we've had vacancies about 5.7%. So because the vacancy is at 5.7% and the share of space available is lower, right, not as much, the asking rent for rents has gone up 6.3%. That's a pretty healthy jump where we have. So the average rent stands about $19.50 per square foot. That's still 20% less than Phoenix and more than a 20% discount from the national level, which is about $25 per square foot. Highest rental rates are in Catalina Foothills and Oral Valley, which most people would assume. And for sales, you know, again, this is going to be a common thread throughout because the cost of financing, the interest rates are higher, and the cost of the properties are too much, and the expenses have risen, particularly like insurance. So if you look over the past 12 months, the number of sales is about $221 million. The five-year average is $380 million, so they're down quite a bit, from where they were. The numbers that what's really, hot in that market, what's selling is still triple net deals, single tenant, triple net transactions, think Jack in the Box or Starbucks. And then that's followed by anchored centered grocery stores, centers that are selling. So the market is, I would say, pretty good right there. Their vacancy rate's about 5.7%.
How about industrial, these big warehouses that are being built, some of them being built on speculation, don't even have a client?
And it's interesting because I'll get to it. There were three sales. The industrial market had, because overall the market's down, right? But the industrial market sales-wise, the second quarter was the largest number dollar volume of sales ever recorded in Tucson, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Wow.
So what we have is basically logistic tenants have been a critical driver of the demand, and with distribution warehousing space near the Tucson International Airport kind of receiving that particular interest, I would say that sub-market is becoming the core of Tucson's growing industrial market. Rental rates, they climbed about 7% in the mid-2022 and then decelerated. The rental rate decelerated through 23 and thus far in 24. The average rent has increased about 2% over the past 12 months, which trails the U.S. level of 4%. It's that relative affordability of rents which is the key driver of sustaining tenant demand for our industrial properties. So our rental rate's about $10.80 per square foot. You compare that to the Port of Long Beach, which is about a one-day truck drive away. They're paying over $20 a square foot.
Wow.
So nearly double what we have. And then we look at the sales. So we talked about that. There was a company called Flint Development. And you look at Valencia and Alvernon, there's those huge buildings were built on the south side of the street called Tucson Commerce Center. Mm-hmm. And there were three sales, one for $40,230,000, another one for $39,650,000, and another one for $38,769,000. Mm-hmm. They were all built on spec, then they got leased up, and they sold and did very, very well. So the industrial market is the new king, and what you see too is we built about 1.8 million square feet, but we absorbed 519,000 square feet, and the vacancy rate is still only 5.6%.
All right, we've got like less than 5 minutes, so you're gonna have to wrap up the other sectors kind of in one go here. So go ahead, Hank Amos.
I'll do it. So office is still treading water. It's due to the lower office utilization because not as many people are going to the office anymore. So it's just been treading water. It's about 10.7% vacancy. One of the reasons why the vacancy rate isn't accelerating is because we're not building a lot of supply. So it's keeping it like a tight lid on that a little bit. We're seeing that the rental rates are about $23 a foot. Compare that to, it's about 20% less compared to over $29 per square foot in Phoenix, over 50% in California. But the market's still going through a tough time, and it's mainly because nobody's using office as much as they used to use. And then we get down to multifamily. So remember, multifamily used to be the king for years and years and years until about 2 years ago, and leasing activity has improved a little bit. The loss in occupancy and rent seems to kind of plateau. It's driving some stabilization in the property performance. We did see a negative absorption of 52 units, but that's a lot better than 22 when we had over 2,200 units that were negatively absorbed. Rents. So what's happened is there's higher vacancy has caused the rent growth to slow, and it's recently turned negative. So over the past 12 months, average rents fell about to 0.1%. So your rent's about $1,150 per month, still 25 to 30% discount compared to the U.S. and Phoenix averages. So that market, the vacancy rate's about 10%. It's getting better, but they've gone through some tough times. Sales-wise, I'll end it with here. So they've done about $233 million for the last 12 months, apartments being sold. From a historic perspective, the average has been about $437 million. And the recent three-year average was $971 million. So the sales market has really decreased dramatically.
Okay, what else are we missing?
We covered it all. I did it a little faster on the last two because you told me to.
Oh, my goodness, Hank. I've still got about 2.5 minutes. So one area that you used to cover, and sometimes you'd mention it, land, or is that an area that there's not very much land for sale?
Well, it's interesting, depending upon what you're looking for. So, you know, as more and more land gets bought, right, then the prices kind of go up, and it's very difficult to find certain things. So, like in the industrial market, if you're looking to build a 10 or 20,000 square foot building, and you don't want to be out in the sticks, very difficult to find something, right? And so sometimes now what you're seeing is if you want to build like a triple net, they might buy a piece of property, tear it down, and build a new building, right? So land prices have gone up, and as everything else has gone up. But again, land, the price of land has to be reflective of the rents that you can get. So you can't ask whatever you want for a piece of land. You got to work it backwards. And if it doesn't, you can't price it X, because if you work it backwards and you decide what you're going to rent it for and nobody can afford that rent, then you can't go there, right? So
okay.
Land is definitely, it's still a good market. The place to be in land is to see if you can buy land and then re-entitle it for residential housing. That's the big play, and that's the play most guys are doing, but it takes a long time to get through the zoning process.
Okay. I want to go
in Oral Valley.
I want to go back quickly to that industrial. It fascinates me. They build these huge, people have been out by the airport, they've seen these huge warehouses. So Tucson's becoming this really big warehouse center.
Well, it's all about logistics, right? So you have Home Goods that came here, Amazon that came here. There's a new company, I think it's called Belkin, that came in, Belden, excuse me, that came in and leased some space. And also, so it's down by the airport. You have access to the freeway. You have access, to the airport being delivered. You're not too far from Mexico. So you got all the maquiladora. So what happens with the maquiladora is that people want to see things that are built in the USA. So they build, 75 or 80% of the product in Mexico. Then they ship the product over to the U.S., like Tucson or Phoenix, and they finish it out. And if they can finish out that last 20 or 25%, they can say made in the USA.
Oh.
So you're seeing a lot of that that's happening.
Okay.
So that and logistics is driving the industrial market. And there's a new area, too, up near Marana, right, where you've seen some product going up there, too, mainly because it's really tough to find land around the airport to build these big properties.
All right, that's Hank, horrible. We've been doing this a long time. I think this was one of your best performances there, a great summary. I think we've been doing this for over 30 years, and this was one of your best performances.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. On behalf of my friend Hank Amos and John on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.